and good morning.
Good morning.
Aloha kakahiaka. This is Pilikia Opono with Mauna Kea Trask and Maka'ala Ka'au Moana. We're pleased to have you with us today, and we have to play a little thing because heaven only knows what we're going to say.
Lordy, Lord help us.
The views and opinions expressed during this program of Himene o Hawaii are those of the speaker or speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha kakahiaka. We're having a little creative morning here. Laura Christine has abandoned ship and left us mice to the running of the sails, and it will be interesting. However, consistently, this is the second Wednesday of the month, and it is 07:00 in the morning, and this is Pilikia Opono with Mauna Kea Trask and Maka'ala. This morning, we're going to tell you what I think is a bedtime story, but we're going to do it to wake you up instead. Then we're going to talk about some of the old, they're not myths, they're real stories. Stuff really happened, right? He grins. Okay, so in my world, most of this stuff, somewhere there's a leaf of truth on this tree, but I'm not sure where. So Mauna Kea said, I really want to tell this story. And I'm not exactly sure how to introduce it, but here we go. Good morning, Mauna.
Well, good morning. Are we rapping today? Is the music in the background? Are we doing is this hip hop? Are we doing rap?
You guys, I'm sorry. I blew it and didn't get your theme song correctly.
That's okay.
First.
Cut it.
It's okay. Cut
the music.
All right, we're going to cut the music.
Let's go. Yeah.
And I want you. I want you all to know that Laura has left us to this. But I want. but I want you to know she's listening because she told me she'd be listening, and I hope she's pulled over because otherwise she's going to be driving off across the lines a little bit. But we're good. We're good. Okay, Mauna, what are we talking about? He's taking a deep breath and looking at me like, I don't know. I don't know. We're trying not to get too serious today.
Yeah. So, good morning, everybody. So, I think the show's going well, right?
So far.
I hear good things.
Yeah. Oh, previous shows.
Or at least
previous shows, you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people on Kauai are very nice. They'll lie to you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. So, I thought, you know, we do a lot of heavy stuff. We're talking on heavy things. And talking about what we do. We do plan a little, I'd say a little. And so I thought it might be good to talk about like a historical thing that happened. Like not, like this is an event. And it's one of my favorite stories about Hawaii from the early 19th century.
Okay.
And the reason why I like it is because it's crazy. It's a wild story. And it's not typically what you think when you think about Hawaiian history or politics, because it's always pretty much pre-contact Native Hawaiians, ancient Hawaiians, time immemorial Hawaiians, right? Which I don't know how I feel about that. And then now to like dispossess social injustice, you know, boots and surf shorts kind of stuff.
Right.
But no middle ground. And the 19th century is the middle ground. It's really amazing. It's hard history to learn, but it's cool. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. So you want to start?
Sure.
All right, let's go.
Are we ready? Is everybody ready to wake up? Here we go.
Okay.
7 o'clock. You're on the road. Here we go.
Okay. So this is 1826.
All right. Oh, he has a clipboard.
Yeah, I got my show notes.
He's never had a clipboard before. A little concerning.
So this is kind of... So 1826... Kamehameha dies 1819, right? So Hawaii at the time, young kingdom. 2 years after Liholiho dies in England, okay? Mm. So Kauikeoli, King Kamehameha III, he's 12 years old. This is just the setting. Kahumanu, so the kingdom's run by Kahumanu.
The queen.
Kamehameha's favorite wife, most mana in the kingdom, And we talked about this before, like, gender in Hawaii was different. What you were didn't matter much as who you were, right?
Mm-hmm. And how you were connected.
Exactly. And she was the most connected on high.
So it wasn't more than if you were a wahine or less than if you were a wahine. You just were, whatever the connections that you had, that's who you were.
Yeah. And that's a common, we understand that. I mean, everyone's family, you know, grandma, right? Women in to this day do, you know, most of the...
heavy lifting. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Kahumanu is the queen regent, and then prime minister, her brother, Kalani Moku, right? So that's like the power structure. So 1819, Kamehameha dies, Kapu's overthrown, Battle of Kuamo'o, Liholiho, Kahumanu, Keopuolani, Hewahewa, order all heiaus burned.
They've had an epiphany.
God killers. They kill the gods. 1820, a couple months later, missionaries come from East Coast, Brig Thaddeus, and that's the head missionary is Hiram Bingham, right? And so they come kind of coincidentally and mass convert all the chiefs, all of Hawaii becomes Christian, fills the void. And so that's kind of what's going on.
Okay.
So everyone's very civilized, according to that time, right? Victorian.
Well, except for the burning and the destruction.
Well, yeah. Well, the civilized are civilizing the uncivilized, and the civilized are quite uncivilized themselves, right? It's like a thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so all this is going down, and Hawaii's in the middle of the world, right? In the shipping lanes in the Pacific. So at any given time, the three main powers, America, Britain, or France, are kind of vying for control of world domination. And France and England get caught up in Napoleonic Wars, and so that kind of detracts England from Hawaii, and America takes firm hold. So this takes a long time to get to the story.
Yeah, well.
So at the time, 1825, the year before, 1824, sorry, mutiny on the Globe, right? Mutiny on the Bounty?
Yes.
That story?
Yes.
Okay. So that happens, and the American business owners are like, oh my God, these wild sailors, these kids that were taken off the East Coast.
Out of control.
Yeah, to spread, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Are out of control. And what happens is, with the Globe, that was like the sailors mutinied against the captain, killed a bunch of people. They picked up four or five guys from Hawaii before it happened. And they're like, Hawaii's becoming this nest of immorality and lost prophets. You know, like, what are they doing there? It's crazy. We need U.S. military enforcement for these, so this doesn't happen again.
Because that's our money.
That's our money. It's corporate interests. And, you know, immorality, and, you know, this murderous den of pirates, right? Because
things sure haven't changed. If you look at today's news, never changes.
Nothing
anyway,
does.
So
that happens. 1825, the U.S. Navy goes, okay, we'll put three ships in the Pacific. And January 1826, the USS Dolphin, captained by Mad Jack Percival, comes to Hawaii.
A name well earned.
Yeah. am I too excited about this?
Yes,
am I being
he's
weird?
Grinning, folks, from ear to ear. And this is serious stuff. Now.
Serious stuff. So Mad Jack comes in on a Friday. Or like he's in the road, so he's coming to Honolulu Harbor. Docks on a Saturday. And he says, hey, everybody, let's exchange salutes, cannon salutes, tomorrow morning.
Just to show we care about each other?
Yeah, it's like what they do.
Just to show deference.
Yeah. And Mad Jack Percival, a little bit about this gentleman. He is...
Using the term loosely.
Yeah. Well,
this guy.
Yeah. Like the archetypal East Coast hard seaman. You know what I mean? Like the ultimate Captain Ahab sort of guy. In fact, Herman Melville wrote this book, White Jacket. And he was on the Peacock, which was the USS Dolphin's sister ship, two schooners. And so he writes about Mad Jack, and it's like everything you'd think. I mean, a state-sanctioned murdering anti-pirate. Like just going around, fought with Andrew Jackson in like American colonial wars and stuff, all these things. Total killer. Melville writes like, hey, if the flood came again, this guy wouldn't even care. He would love it. He'd just keep on sailing.
He would thrive. Yeah, he just would keep doing his job.
Yeah, sail over Mount Everest. So anyway, Mad Jack comes in, but he's also a hard-drinking, violent guy. But it's the kind of lovable.
Didn't get the name for no reason.
Exactly. No fear. I mean, running into cannons, all this kind of
stuff. You don't run around
stuff.
Calling people Mad Jack.
So he comes in Ahoy, and he's there to protect American interests, ensure American economic security in the Pacific, and to talk about this debt issue. So Liholiho's dead, but he still owes about 10,000 picules of sandalwood to American business interests.
Picules, there's
a word. I don't
know
what that is.
Remember Noah and the cubit? Remember?
Not really.
What the heck is a picule? It's like, what the heck is a cubit? Okay, never mind. And it's a measurement of size, probably not of weight.
Yeah, it's like imperial. Is it imperial measurement? Like
yes.
What part of the king was a picule?
Yeah. You like, really don't want me going there. You know that disclaimer
that's
that
you
played?
Not a lot of sandalwood, though.
Yeah, that like disclaimer is in play now. Yeah.
So Liholiho owes 10,000, and like I think Komuli owes 5. So they need to ensure there's... And anyway, so he comes in, and he goes, hey, let's exchange cannon salutes tomorrow
morning. Just for giggles or for respect?
That's a respect thing, I think. You know, they shoot a cannon. They return
it's
fire.
It's so the population sees it. It's for some sort of effect.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure.
I mean, otherwise, why would you waste the cannon fire?
Yeah, it's military. Yeah, it's whatever it is, right? It is. It's that. It's male ego. Like, hey, let's pull out our cannons and shoot them.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is the height of like 19th century European supremacy. So
in charge of the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of good and bad, but I'm not here to judge history. Right, we're here to talk about it.
Right.
So anyway,
although my laughter probably does impart some judgment.
We're terribly judgy. But nonetheless. This is, and you also can be too, right? And anyway,
after he tells you the story, you can make your judgment call.
If
we ever
get
to the story.
Okay, no, here we go. So this one starts.
Ta-da.
So then he goes, okay, let's exchange cannon salutes. And then Kahumanu goes, no, we're not going to, no.
Because she's a woman and sees the waste of it all.
Come on. Kahumanu, Hawaii, women are bosses too. Let's not say women aren't as violent. I better watch myself. The thing is, Kahumanu is not afraid to shoot off cannons. Let's put it that way.
No, but it's these two guys shooting off cannons.
No, she's the boss. So word gets to Kahumanu. Oh, Captain Percival wants to go exchange cannon salute. She goes, no, tomorrow's the Sabbath.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah. So again, back to the kind of murderous den of immorality that Hoi, corporate interests were saying Hoi was.
Yeah.
It was no longer like that because they all converted. And Kahumanu was about it, right? Hawaiians were very pious immediately and still are.
Well, because they have it in them to be pious on other levels for other reasons.
Piety
and I was gonna say I'm sure it's not piousness. Piety and devotion and investment in things larger than themselves and parts of what ruled made the world go around were part of Hawaiian nature. They're part of all indigenous nature. Whatever they believed, whether it was the rocks or the stars or the trees or the gods or whatever it was. They were in it because that was the essence of life. I mean, so when you switch from one to the other, you don't alter the strength of that, right?
And conversely, because they understood nature so well, they also felt totally entitled to kill it. Right?
Ooh.
I mean, we killed I don't want to take away the glory from our own God-killing abilities, right? we can do that really well, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, and that's, again, we're seeing that play out.
Okay, so she says no.
No. Sabbath. And nothing is said about this, but I'd imagine Captain Mad Jack Percival's like, no.
You're not going to tell me no.
Yeah. So I think that is because
my cannon.
Yeah. And so the next morning, sure enough, Mad Jack shoots off the cannon. Sabbath morning. Wakes up probably all of Honolulu, you know. And no return fire until the next day. So already there's
because
like
one of them
thing.
Followed the rule.
Yeah. Because as strong as Kahumanu is, I'm sure the American Western Madjack Percival is like, what's this woman? Who does she think she is? Right. And he's about to learn. So Madjack's there, and whaling ships, they need to be, I mean, not whaling ships, but, you know, ships need to be repaired. So it's in port. They're doing their thing. Meanwhile, an American sailing vessel gets wrecked off Lanai. So Governor Boelke and Mad Jack go and salvage the stuff and bring it back. So everything's going pretty well. But something's wrong on the USS Dolphin. And that is the sailors on the very ship that has been sent to Hoi to protect, like, the morality and stuff of the prevent the immorality of sailors and AWOL and all this other stuff. Their sailors want to get immoral.
Of course they do.
And one of the problems for, and one of the problems was because upon converting to Christianity, Hawaiians actually implemented it. So Kahumanu put a kapu on drinking and partying on Hawaiian women. So they couldn't go to the ships anymore in rage. And the American sailors did not like that.
She could control her population. Her population, she said, you cannot go out to the ships.
Yeah.
And the sailors didn't come in on their own?
Well, it was kapu. They couldn't
so
cavort.
Her rules, so even if they came in, they weren't planned.
Like, okay. Look, we're going to stop the prostitution, the alcoholism, all that.
Taking all the fun out of being a sailor.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you guys came from New England and told us, saved our souls. And now that our souls are being saved, you're getting really mad about it, right? So that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so Madjack goes to Boelke, who's the governor. He's a royal. He's a chief. And he goes, talks about him. But look, I'm sick of this. We want women. And we want to get drunk and, you know.
Do what we do with women.
Yeah, whether they want it or not, kind of, is the thing.
Yeah, we're going to.
Yeah. Yeah. So Boelke talks to Kahumanu about it. And she's like, no, that's our right. Right? This is, we're a sovereign nation. We're a real nation. And I'm in control. And Kahumanu, even though she's Christian, she's very much old style. Like, she still carries the native Hawaiian, like you said, that she is a god unto herself, various degrees. And so he goes, okay, but Mad Jack's going to get really mad. And he says his ship spits like fire. She goes, hey, we're on the side of the Lord. Let's see what happens. So she writes this, and we'll do the show notes, but this is from A Hawaiian Reader, Volume 1, The Exotic Literary Heritage of the Hawaiian Islands. And it's an excerpt from Hiram Bingham's diary at the time. So this is great stuff. So
when people used to write.
Yeah. They still write, but this is not on a social media post. So Boelke tells Kahumanu this thing, like, these guys want to get, you know, they want the women. And he says, what does she do? So Kahumanu prepares a condescending and conciliatory statement, saying pretty much,
look, you little boy, you're not going to get to play.
Hey, I have the right to control my own subjects in this matter. In enforcing the kapu, I've sought no money, and in apprehending and punishing the subject, she had done no injustice to you. So if they caught women going over, they grabbed her, you can't do that, right? They're just enforcing their laws on their people, no problem.
They're not shooting you, the sailor. They're just bringing the women back and saying you will behave.
And she goes, as you know, in passing from one country to another, you're bound while you remain in my country to conform to my laws. So the audacity of this non-white woman to tell a white man in the 1820s, no, right? So Mad Jack is not happy. Refuses to write back, says, I'm going to come and talk to you. So he walks down, and everyone's like, oh my God. No one talks to Kahumanu like this.
This is not going to end well.
And here's this 5'9", kind of smelly guy, I'd imagine, like, demanding to speak to Kahumanu. And I just...
And she's what, 6'2"?
Yeah. I mean, she's in her 50s at this point. She's kind of older, but...
Yeah, but she's not weak.
No, not at all. And...
And she's not widow.
She's surrounded by old school Hawaiians, too.
Who will kill for her.
Yeah, these guys are like train ripping... Their fingers can rip koa bark off the wood of trees. So let's think about.
Here's a good descriptor.
Big boys. And girls. Like the kind, those things were, at this time, people were landing in Hawaii, kind of like it was still undiscovered. And some wahine would walk out from the trees, the lowland deciduous forests, and pick up an anvil and just leave. Just walk away with it. They're like, what is that? Was that a woman? What just happened? So anyway.
Sasquatch.
It's great, yeah. So Mad Jack goes down, and they're all in Kalani Moku's hall in downtown Honolulu, which is like a nice place, Victorian England style, because they're just spending money, right? Making money, spending money. And Mad Jack comes in, and he goes, just says, this is an assault to the U.S. flag, and this is the U.S. Navy now. Okay, so let's be clear. Think about the Navy now. Red Hill, Kahoolawe, USS Dolphin. This is where it starts. This is the first foray. And prior to this, see, Russia's sending military ships, Britain's sending military ships, France is there. So Hiram Bingham is actually like, Lord Byron has a very good visit there on London. He's like, man, we got to get America here, right? So Hiram is like, hey, let's meet the U.S. Navy. These guys are cool. Here comes the U.S. Navy demanding prostitutes, right?
Class act as usual.
Like, huh?
Yeah. Wait. How does this work? Yeah, yeah. And first of all, where's the reciprocity?
Yeah.
Okay. So I really like what you just said. I don't mean to bring it down, but this is the U.S. military. And I'm just going to editorialize. Oh, I'm so glad we played the disclaimer. When Red Hill first came down, I'm still mad. It's stuck in my craw, and someday I'm going to find this guy before he mucke. The man that they sent, I don't know, what was he? Some sort of three-star admiral or some silly thing. The first guy that was on he was on a Zoom with all of us. And he was the first brass Red Hill come to explain what Washington, D.C. is going to do. And the first thing out of his mouth is somebody says, you know, aloha, how are you? And he says, well, I'm a little tired. Really? That's the first thing out of your mouth? Right. Like, we're getting killed over here and you're tired? Then he says, you know, something about he's missing, you know, I'm missing the football. He literally said this, people, I'm missing the football game. Now, if you don't think that I didn't pick up the phone and scream at Wayne Tanaka of Sierra Club, Wayne, you've got to get this guy. I don't care who he, well, he has vanished. He has completely disintegrated like Spock. He's in particles somewhere because nobody has seen or heard from this dude since then. He has been... Yeah, he's been disappeared. But this is exactly, the arrogance of, you know, I'm a little tired. Really?
Well,
we've got people
watching
sick in hospitals and he was watching, yeah, anyway. And he was pissed that he was missing the football game. I'm just saying it hasn't changed that much. So the purpose of this story, which I guess I'll figure out at some point, is that In my opinion, Mount is trying to not only introduce a little levity to what has been heretofore a very serious conversation. Poor Jeff. He just steps in this morning and we blast him with, you know, a sense of humor he didn't even know he had. But to bring the fact around that whatever we see today, it's not the first time. And we should be learning from those previous times. And if we don't learn, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again and again and again until you go, you know what? That didn't work the first 150 times. Why would it work now? And so this story is about where the first, in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong, that real brassy arrogance of, you know, we've got investments here and we, you know, you're an island. You're still an island people. They're still not really calling us a nation.
This incident led to the first national accord with the United States.
Yeah. Okay.
But Hawaii was very much a nation. But again, 19th century. So it's extremely racist, right? It's a wild time. And again, I'm going to say it was kind of not the best time, but You know what I mean? That's my thing. And I think it was terrible. And this is, and I don't want the levity to like think it's
make
okay.
Make light of it. Yeah, it's not. But no, we're not.
It was.
But
it
is a funny story. Or it's at least it's a funny picture.
But it has a great, and this is why I love this story, because it ends badly for them. So I'm a little premise, a little foreshadowing. But getting back to it. So Navy's first foray, they come in. We want immoral women. We want it now. Captain Mad Jack runs down to Kalani Moku's building. And these are kapu, I mean, chiefs. You don't touch their shadows. You wore their malo 10 years ago. They'd wipe you out. Wipe you out. Kill the whole village. So, like, and it was that strength that people respected. People did not front on Hoi because of Kamehameha I. He was a monster. And we think, we look at the golden statue now, but the dude was missing his front teeth. Like, he's a killer, and he can take a hit. So, and these are little guys, but they got guns. So he runs in and he goes, who is in charge? And Kahumanu points to the corner and says, he's the king. Where's the king? He's the king. Little 12-year-old kid. He goes, okay, well, who's in charge? He goes, I am. And my brother, he's like second in command. So he goes, all right, what's this kapu on women? Enough already. Like, you're being unjust. You're treating people unfairly. You're picking on us. He goes, no, we're not. We're God. We worship the same God now. We're all civilized. Kahumanu is being calm. I'm sure irritating him to no end. And he's just like, no. So you're the queen. Okay, who's
really in charge?
Who's really in charge? It's him, isn't it? And he points to Hiram Bingham.
Oh.
Because Hiram Bingham's right there. He's the missionary, right?
It's your fault. Yeah, you brought this God thing to them, and now they won't let us play.
And he goes, it's him. He goes, he tells you about God. You control him. She's like, no, I'm in control. He tells me about God, and I say what's up. So he goes, look, and this is on a Saturday. So he goes, tomorrow, I want women, the kapu gone, so my guys can go cavort on a Sabbath. So this is all very
planned.
He clearly
doesn't get the idea.
No, he's over it. Because like you said, the attitude was you savages. Hiram Bingham had that attitude. They all had that attitude. But Hoi was ours, right? Hoi, it was ours. And we did not even contemplate the idea that we needed your permission for it, right? This is our, I mean, obviously, we're Hawaiians. This Hoi.
We don't need to explain this.
No, this is crazy. There's no need for an explanation.
Okay.
So he goes, Kalmanu, you used to come party with us. You used to come with your husband, Kamehameha. I remember you. So she goes, hey, that was before. She goes, in former times, we were dark-minded, lewd, and murderous. And at the present, we are seeking a better way. And Mad Jack is losing his mind. He's like this. So he goes,
because he's got a ship full of
sailors
that are going to abandon ship if he doesn't do something.
Then he goes, send and liberate the women. If you still hold them, I myself will liberate them. Notice the word liberate, right? So why do you do evil to the women, I said. This is Kahumanu to Mad Jack Percival. It is for us to give direction respecting our women. It is for us to establish the kapus. So Mad Jack has had it. And he goes, looks at her right in the eye, and she goes, look, tomorrow I will give my men rum, probably their daily ration. Look out. They will come for women, and if they do not get them, they will fight. If the women are not released from the kapu tomorrow, my people will come and pull down the houses of the missionaries. That was it. Walks out the door. So the Hawaiian chiefs just, okay. They wait.
Bring it.
Next morning, on Sunday, the 26th of February, the commander of the USS Dolphin, the U.S. Navy ship, allowed double the usual number of his men, 150 guys, to spend the day on shore at Honolulu. And they get hammered, and they just proceed to go crazy. Sabbath, Kahumanu, all the chiefs are going to church. Hiram Bingham's there with them. And people surround the church. You know, liberate the women. They're yelling all this crazy stuff. They're getting drunk. They're doing all these things. And they just start breaking windows. And full-on riot. Full-on riot. United States Navy. It's like...
badly behaving sailors.
It's going. Christian guys. Going ham and hoy. With Navy uniforms on. Not going to stop. So anyway, Hiram Bingham's like, oh my God. And he hears, oh, someone says, hey, pastor, your wife's calling for you. And he's like, I'm not going to go to my house because they're going to follow me and wreck my wife. Mm-hmm. And then he sees some guys running to his house anyway. So he's like, ah, he runs and chases after his guys, hoping to beat them to his house and protect his wife. Wife locks him out of the house. Like, no, you know.
Nobody's so, coming in.
Yeah, these sailors grab him. And he's like, you know, oh, we got you. Our captain sent you. Mad Jack sent. So this is very much American U.S. Navy captain against American missionaries. It's wild.
So well, if I was God, just let him fight it out.
So Hiram Bingham's yelling, you know, help, help to all the Hawaiians. Which I love because Hiram Bingham's there to save our souls, but we're there to save his skin, right? So he frees himself and he books it. He runs back to Kalani Moku's place and the Hawaiians are still there. And so he's running in. And during his stay there, Boki was in charge of protecting Hiram Bingham. But Boki's kind of like, he's like a more modern kind of guy. So he's not really into the U.S. missionary thing. He doesn't know how he feels about it. Boki later disappears famously, trying to go find sandalwood in the Marquesas to pay off, to clear all the kingdom debts and save us economically from economic suppression. He disappears and dies. So unfortunately, that never happened. But he's a, you know, I like the guy historically. Boki's not going to fight for Hiram Bingham, though. He's like, whatever, kind of, I guess. So anyway, Hiram Bingham runs in. He sees all the Hawaiians that he's, you know, educated, taught how to read, taught, you know, wrote down the Hawaiian language with, saving soul Hawaiians. Amongst them is John Papa'i'i, Nahinu, other guys, right? His whole flock. Hardcore Hawaiian guys. And he's staring at them and he goes, fearing that Boki, whose duty was to defend me, was unwilling any longer to enforce the kapu or protect me against the riotous foreigners, I looked around to see if there were anyone who I could rely on for immediate help. And he looks and he sees John Ii, he sees Koa, he sees Nahinu and others. And he says to them, Aole ane o ko malama mia. Sorry, Iao. Which means, do you not take care of me? They look back at him and they go, calmly replied, Ke malama ne no mako. We do take care. Mm-hmm. Right then, one of the U.S. Navy officers, the sailors, knocks Hiram Bingham right in the head from behind, lays him out.
Interesting timing.
Drops him. Lydia, but it doesn't kill him because, like, Lydia Namahana, who's like a chiefess, a princess, like interjects and glances the blow, help glances the blow. So this Hawaiian woman, a princess,
sticks her body in the way.
In the way. Protect the missionary, right? Who kind of, like, if you read Hiram Bingham's writing, he's very much, oh, these brown, you know, they're savages.
He's not that respectful. Yeah.
So,
but on the other hand, he's brought Jesus, so, you know.
It was the signal of resistance, Hiram Bingham writes. So Lydia Namahana reaches in. They knock him, they hit him, and it's for which the natives have waited. They sprang up upon the rioters. Some seized, disarmed, and bound, and some they dealt leveling blows. From one knocked down senseless like an ox to the slaughter with a two-handed club, I instantly felt the bowels of tenderness move and entreated the natives not to kill the foreigners. This dude's getting killed by his own military. he yells. Hawaiians save him, and they put down a beating barehanded so hard on the U.S. Navy that the guy that they were beating goes, oh my God, watch out, you know, don't go too hard.
Yeah.
And these Hawaiians end it. They end the riot barehanded, fight the U.S. Navy, beat them. 150 dudes.
Oh, if only the lesson was remembered.
Oh, man. And then after that,
this is, I will remind our listeners, this is Mauna Kea Trask talking, and this is not the Sovereignty Show. This is Pilikia Opono.
Yeah.
But we're trying today to give you a story about that gives you a sense, the color, the flavor, the times, and the other stuff that was going on, because we've been talking about the origins of laws and policies and all that kind of stuff. But it's important to understand the background music, as it were, of behind all of what was going on policy-wise and governmentally and historically. This stuff happened also, right?
Yeah, the same. And it's part of it. It shapes it, right?
Right.
So, and we may not do this again. This may get very bad.
Idea.
Reception. This is kind of like, it feels like a half podcast drunk history sort of thing. I don't know if this works, but.
Well, we'll soon know.
But the interesting thing, okay, so there's this riot. It gets put down. And I love it because it's contrary to the narrative of, like you said earlier, this concept that Hawaiians were very pious and kind of subservient and as if
they were weak.
Yeah, and as if history was fait accompli.
They knew who they were. They knew they had their own. They had their own authority. They had their own structure. And even though that Hiram Bingham had made his points and had his influence, the essential DNA, the marrow in their bones, was still Hawaiian. Was still very clearly they knew who they were. They weren't going to be. No nonsense.
Yeah, and they weren't stupid. I mean, clearly not. Hawaiians were like tremendous, and it took the combined Western might. It wasn't just United States that overthrew Hawaii. It was the entire 200 years of economic and social pressure of the entire West that modified it a little bit. But that's not. We have a future. The future's coming. It's going to be different. You know what I mean? And
yes.
The interesting thing is Hawaii's political situation, economic situation, has always been tied up to what happens in the West. So like we started earlier, Napoleonic Wars, if Napoleon in 1815 didn't move on England, we all have British accents right now. It'd be like New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And we would likely be sovereign because England Empire, they're no longer imperial.
Mm-hmm.
France, same thing. We went with America. It was one of the three. It was going to be one of those three. It wouldn't have been China or something else. It would have been one of the three. So this
is
how...
It darn near was one of the three.
I mean, yeah. Oh, and, France got kind of close, but the Paulette Affair, they overthrew Hawaii for 5 months, right? America, it was an act of treason and then later, right? Annexed, but anyway, so this story tells you, like, the Hawaiians put it down. And to end the story, so they have a great, they stop the riot. But it's still a USS Dolphin. It's a U.S. military. And like the U.S. military, ultimately they go, look, okay, good one.
You got us this
time.
But
tomorrow we're going to bring the cannons.
Yeah.
Like, this is going down. We're too invested in it. So.
And this is embarrassing.
Yeah,
folks.
Fallacy of sunken cost. Like, oh, well, this can't happen. We can't lose on our first foray. And so, Boakey, they broker a deal where Boakey is governor of Oahu, has charge of Honolulu Harbor. That's his jurisdiction. So technically, he waves the kapu there, and they party.
In the harbor.
In the harbor. They don't go bedlam. And, but it was such a problem. The missionaries, very powerful politically in Hawaii and in the U.S. So huge complaints come out of New England. The American Board of Foreign Commission Missionaries or something, whatever it was,
Mm-hmm.
And Mad Jack Percival gets court-martialed.
For his bad behavior.
Yeah, he gets whacked. But he doesn't get found guilty. I mean, obviously. But...
So they put him on trial.
Yeah, they put him on court-martial.
But he wasn't found guilty.
Yeah, they kind of absolve him of it. I need to learn the history more.
He was just doing what sailors do. He was trying to protect his crew. That's Mad Jack.
That's the attitude.
Yeah.
And he's very much an archetypal sort of East Coast captain, So, but there's like a whole Navy transcript of it. There's people out there that know more about Mad Jack than I do, bar none. But so that happens. And then later, so that December. That was February 26th. Okay. And into this day, apparently, in researching this, Pearl Harbor still celebrates Mad Jack Day.
No way.
Yeah, they do. I'm sure they serve water at this proceeding. But but they do.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, it's kind of
what
like...
What does that mean, Pearl Harbor still celebrates?
There's a Mad Jack Day.
There is a Mad Jack Day.
There is.
Is it on February 26th?
It's on the day he leaves. Like, whenever they left... Like, yeah.
Well, that's a little different kind of celebration.
It's apparently
okay,
a thing.
It's not a celebration of the stupid he did. It's a celebration of the day he leaves, which is worth celebrating.
I think it's honorific, though, but I'm not sure. But he's one of these colorful characters in American history.
No kidding. So yeah. If you hear of Mad Jack Day in Honolulu, now you can make your own decision as to whether or not which side of the parade you're going to stand on.
And that's the point. Hawaiians, countrymen. This is the story. This is from, and this is Hiram Bingham. This is a reliable source. You know, I think it makes sense. It seems historically accurate. You know, it's out there. It is historically accurate. But we can have our own opinions. We can come to our own conclusions, mm-hmm. right? Which is the point of the show. Mm-hmm. But going back to, so that December, the first accord, you know, some say it was a treaty. Some said it was an agreement. It was never ratified by the U.S. Senate. But commercial commerce and friendliness with the United States and Hawaii. It's the 54th, I think, that United States signed with a foreign nation.
Was that still with Kahumanu?
Yeah.
So she's still in power.
Kahumanu didn't die till 1832, I think.
So she's 39. Still in power, and she signs after all of this craziness and stupidity. But the overarching interest, the financial interest of Hawaii. And at this point, sandalwood is almost gone, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So yeah. She doesn't even have any coin.
So whaling is it. And that's what they were protecting. And so selling old debts, ag, you know, ag's a promise. And Kahumanu signs it. And it's the first one in Hawaii. And later, I just got this really great book. My wife got it for me for my birthday. Thank you, Aaron. I highly
Aaron,
recommend
you're feeding
it.
The monster. Stop giving him these books.
No, I she's great.
If I know Mauna, he has a list. And if you want to get me something, this is on the list, dear.
It's called A Power in the World, The Hawaiian Kingdom in Oceania, Lorenz Gonshore. And it has a beautiful picture of like one of the stars of Kalakaua.
Very cool.
Hoi was in such a great book because it again, attacking that victim archetype, the Hawaiian victim, the you know.
Yeah, which I'm very interested in.
The one that got left behind in history that doesn't exist anymore, you know, the true Hawaiian. No, we're true Hawaiians. We're here right now, genetically, same thing.
And we're still capable of doing all
the same
things.
It's the same thing, dude. Mm. So Hawaii then, because of this and how it handled it diplomatically, amongst other things, right? This was just one story. But it did it so well that it was one of the few, if not the only, equal trading partner. Japan actually, when it was coming out of the embargo, I don't know, was it like the Meiji era got it out of it, or it was in the Meiji, they were in it, I don't know. But they looked to Hawaii. Like, how did you negotiate that trade on equal footing? Like, we want that. Mm-hmm. How did you do that? And Kalakaua is just being an ambassador. And he's going through, this is in the later 1800s, but as a result of all these stories, that shaped political policy, that shaped economics in Hawaii. Which, again, the basic thing about sovereignty, it's economics. It's politics. But more so economics. And if we can provide a better life, just like the Pili chiefs provided a better life to the people than the Nanala chiefs did, when Pa'au brought them from Samoa and Tahiti, the people will go with it. These
whatever
history
is better,
repeats.
Whatever benefits, of course.
If we make a better life for people, and we don't have, we can call it whatever we want it. It doesn't matter. The title doesn't matter. The better life matters. We do that, we all win. You know, in the future, Hawaii is now, it was then, pre-contact, post-contact, it will be in the future a multi-ethnic state. It will be a multiracial state, whatever word you want to use. Multi-gender, multi-sex. Right, that's what makes a nation strong, I think. It's not mm-hmm. homogeneity.
No.
So because of that, Kalakaua becomes this ambassador, and later it sets the stage for like, oh, Hawaii's a real player. And he wanted to do like this Polynesian Pacific state. It would be the only nation joined by water, not divided by it, right? And he had offered the emperor of Japan to be head of it. You know, at some time, Hawaii was going to be the head, because Hawaii is still the strongest economy in Polynesia. Right, so there is a future here. What is the ocean, right? These are other things to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I just love that story because Hawaiians put down the U.S. Navy barehanded and with morality, you know, self-defense. They waited for the first punch. I'm sure they wanted to go get them, from Sabbath morning when they shot off that cannon. But they waited, right? And it goes back to those old engravings of Hawaiians at like Makahiki, the boxing matches. Mm-hmm. They don't really show people throwing punches. It's mostly hand by the hip in that ku style with the palms down. Because they wait for the first punch. You eat the first one. You destroy them on the set. You know, it's the response, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, story of Captain Mad Jack Percival, man.
So, who would have thunk on a peaceful Wednesday morning that you would have started your day with Mad Jack? But the importance of knowing these stories and hearing these stories is that, for me, is that, you know, everything goes around more than once or twice. We've seen this before. How did it play out before? The cast of characters is really not even that different. The issues, the threats, the challenges, the potential positives is really not that different. You know, the names change. You know, what was that all then? The names have been changed to protect that. You know, the point of all of these is, well, there's several things I hope to get out of this series. One is to get some facts out about what really was the historical context for what happened and what really did happen or didn't happen. Where things began, rules and policies and habits, stuff like that, where they began. And then also to humanize that history. You know, these are people. These are men that you know had been on a ship a very long time and you know wanted sex and the power of that, the importance of a captain to try and keep his crew intact, the influence of all of those times and the authority of a queen who was clear about what was going to happen and not happen, and then to your point, letting them behave badly first, not going at them, but letting something happen first because she knew it would, and then just annihilating them, and that's the end of that. The story was going to travel that you don't fool around. I'm sorry to hear the part about where he did let them have their party in the harbor, because I really wanted to hear that they all, well, I sort of wanted to hear they all drowned, but never mind. I think that,
well, they're good Christians. Yeah, see?
I mean,
it's just the complexity of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very complex.
See, so y'all know I'm not a Christian, and so in my world, if you behave like that repeatedly, you know, off with your heads. I'm done with you. You're not, I don't see any point to your continuing. But that's not who they were. That's not what they'd been taught, and not that long ago. So their faith was fairly green, new, strong, yeah. Clear, recent.
Well, to interject too, I think right now you just talked about playing chess. It depends on what game you're playing too.
Yes.
So if you're killing kings, okay, yeah, kill the king and the game. But Hawaiians play Konane. It's a different game. They want to keep moving. So they just, the move they made with that, you know, and I think, I don't know if they let it happen. People make threats all the time. I'm sure they heard it, you know, so they waited because various reasons.
Because it might not really happen.
Yeah.
Why waste your stuff, man?
And if you look at it, one of the cool things to do is if you want to understand Hawaiian history and the Hawaiian mindset, read, number one, read. But like you said too, surf, paddle.
Live the life.
Fish, hunt, do the things that Hawaiians did, not because there's any inherent magic in it, but there's inherent wisdom in it. The ike, the kauna, all the metaphors are natural. So when you play konane, you understand it's chess almost in reverse. And you look at the world that way for a little bit and you think, wow, this is a way to look at strategy. And then when you think about the stories that they write about playing konane, the stakes, life and death, playing konane. Kahuna and Kauai being famous for riddles, for konane. And even to the point where if you came to like some part of Kauai, there was a kahuna, his defense of his hale was femurs. All the people he beat in konane. Like,
and okay, then you can't, we don't go to that.
Yeah, you contrast house. That with the, I very believe in piety, Hawaiian. Well, what does piety mean? Femurs, man. You know, so you're looking at these issues like, wow. And then when you play konane, you think about Hawaiian history it's you don't feel like such a victim. You're like, oh, are we still playing? There's still moves to be made. We're still making moves.
That's right.
The military, U.S. Navy is still doing stuff. Things are still happening. Hawaiians are still in positions of power, as are non-Hawaiians, as are religious interests and all these things. This is, it's konane, I think. And if we look at it that way, it's more productive. It's a better game. It's our game. And I'm looking for, I guess, optimism and hope, but also reality. Like, let's not accept the tropes, the victim stuff. You know, there's definitely moves to be had, and then how we apply that to housing, right? Development, is it, going back to the first show, is development bad? Well, it's a move. I think the price of paradise, the price to stay here, we need to do some development. We need to. We need housing. And so is that, you know, and it's the same, I don't know where I'm going with this, but there's something there. Right, and I guess that's what we're talking here for.
It's a step.
Trying to figure it out. Yeah, maybe
and
you guys know.
And at some point, and I apologize deeply that I do not remember his last name, but Uncle John that sells the konane boards and teaches konane. So in every festival or event we have, he comes and he brings his konane boards, which right now are really cool because they're just cloth and he can stuff them in a pocket. They're very cool. They're much easier than the big old boards that we all have. And he teaches that for that reason, because it is the Hawaiian way of thinking. It is the ultimate strategic game, and there are moves still to be made. And he has a much deeper purpose and a much deeper understanding of it, but it is konane. So the 4-year-old can play, and the 94-year-old can play. The admiral can play, and the cook can play. And are they playing, or are they learning? Are they doing both? Are they going back to who they really are? Or are they moving forward to who they can be? And that's what konane is to me. And that's what konane is to me. By the way, I can't beat my husband, who says 3 words all day if he's had a big day, can beat the pants off of me in konane, because I'm chattering around and doing all the things that I do and flittering around the board like I do. And he's just simply a step ahead of me every single time. And it's infuriating. But there's no way out of this hole for me with konane. And I have gone to Uncle John and said, please help me. And he said, you know, essentially quiet yourself, calm yourself, stop thinking. Okay, that's another lifetime, and it's not going to be this one. So I like that it came back around to where we started. Is development good or bad, and who are the cast of characters? And I'm also wanting to highlight a point that you made about it takes the mix. So as we're thinking about housing, this is a point that I've been making with anyone who will listen to me. And today you are the sorry victims. When we're thinking about housing, it cannot be just for that group, just for them, just for this, just there. It must be a mix. It must reflect all of us in order to build a community. Each one of these housing developments will become its own community. You want that.
Totally. And you get credits for it. You do.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah.
And so, like, and that's the thing. I think, you know, ending on this note, talking about housing, we probably should go back to it, honestly.
At some point.
But it's like, you know, I was talking to Adam Reversi the other day. We have a really good housing director, by the way.
We do.
He's really good. And we're talking about this project. And a lot of it, you know, the issue with housing, it's tied up in development. It's an exaction. County can't even develop their own housing. Land's very expensive. It's not the right districting. We have to do a lot of pre-work. And if the community wants housing, we should go out and support it. If there's a community meeting and they talk about housing, counties talk about housing, a developer's talking
Show
about
up.
A housing component, we need to go up there and thank them.
Yes.
It's like, thanks. We support you. We appreciate you. If we need to divert some water, we have to think about it in the community and go, look, if we want housing, we need to divert water. Thank you. Not everything is a fight. You know, we have to pick our battles. And then we'll begin to see it, because they want to help. They do. And we can...
And they've been working hard behind the scenes. Yeah. We just recently had a wonderful meeting at Kilauea Neighborhood Association where the mayor came and he brought all of his he would call them, his team, all of the different department heads and so forth. And it was extraordinary. And they had been given a list of questions ahead of time, which helps keep things in some sense of order. And Adam Reversi talked about some of the things that have been going on that you say, the backstory, the back work that has to be done, obtaining the land. He's in court.
He's taking land right now.
Yeah, he's taking land right now. I mean, what more do we want him to do, you know?
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. And then he's, you know, he's talking about the infrastructure, the road. Yeah. Where's the road going to go? Well, the road for that housing was planned, I don't know, 20 years ago? With, you know, when we didn't have any clue of how we were going to get that land.
Or people didn't know, yeah, and they didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, no one knew that everything north of Anahola was going to be an ag CPR. They thought it was going to be an ag. Right, and we've changed. And even last night at the listening session, thanks Representative Evslin Nakamura and Morikawa for hosting that. That was good. People had questions about roads and stuff, and it's really, well, it's from plantation to plantation, field to plantation. That's our entire infrastructure. If you're driving right now and traffic doesn't make sense, you're right. It doesn't. It's for plantations.
It wasn't set up for you.
Yeah.
It wasn't set up for a commuter of any sort.
Council Chair Raposa brought up... cane roads, and it's true, it's not ideal, but they're roads. They do shortcut. We know where they are. So these are, you know, and I think we're getting to that point finally. We can have these conversations like again.
Can't we just take them away from the people that own them now? Because we need them more.
I mean, like you said, it's complex, tremendously expensive. We have a great DOT engineer, Larry Dill.
Yeah, he's
great.
Fabulous.
Knows his island, great. He has a lot of constraints, man, because we're in Kauai. We're the most remote spot on earth. So beautiful, so difficult.
And yet so worth it. And yet so worth it. So we're going to wind this up and we're going to thank Jeff very, very much for tolerating this insanity. And
thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, you guys are great. Thank you so much. What wonderful stories. And I'm really sorry I jacked up your intro song. I'm going to play it as an outro song.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
So we'll get you going on. Huh?
That's fine. And we want to certainly thank KKCR. I say once again, where else in the world would you hear this kind of stuff? And we're not making it up. I mean, our opinions are our opinions, but we're not making it up. The book's in his lap. He's got it. It's the real deal. So thank you, KKCR. Thank you, Laura Christine.
Yeah, hello, you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks, Laura Christine.
Jeff.
We appreciate you. Right on.
Yes.
That was great.
Good.
All right.
And have a wonderful day.
Hello.
Aloha.